Okay, good evening, everyone. Today's learning should be Afur Shalema, Chaim Yeshua ben Hendel, as well as Yehuda Aryeh Raphael ben Yitta. We left off last week, and we're really getting back into the sugya tonight, of eating together at one table, where one is eating milchiks and one is eating fleishiks, the halacha of people eating together at the same table when they're what we call opposite genders, milchiks and fleishiks. Now, the truth is, tonight we're going to get into some other details pertaining to the meal and food related to the meal with regard to bas b'chalav. So let's start up again from the sugi that we were talking about last week about two people eating together at a table. So the truth is, if you look over here, number one, there's a Mishnah over here in Chul Naf Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We talked last week about if a person has by himself basar and chalav on the same table, or if a person is sitting with someone else. So the Mishnah says like this: Shnei Achsanoyim, two guests. They can eat at the same table. Each one eating, one is eating cheese and one is eating meat. So Reb Shimon Gamliel says, if you have two achsonoim, two visitors, meaning they don't know each other, there's no relationship between the two of them, there's no connection between the two of them, two strangers, then they're allowed to eat together at the same table, and there's no problem. Why? So Rashi says over here, number two, Ein lochush sheyochol zeh mishal chaveri. Because then there's no chash that one will eat from the other. We spoke last week, the chash of having bas b'chalav at the same table is the chash that there will be intermingling of the food between the two parties. We'll discuss that a little bit more in a second. But says Rashi, if the two parties don't know each other, they're achsenoyim, they're both visitors, there's no connection between the two of them, then there's no such chash. Now if you look further on over in that Gemara in Chulin Kuf Zayin, the Gemara explains, the Gemara says like this: Omar Rav Chana bar Rabbi, Omar Shmuel lo yishanu. When is it a problem? Ela she'ein makirim zeh zeh. You have two visitors who they don't know each other. They don't recognize each other. Avo makirim zeh zeh. But if they recognize each other, asur. Then it becomes asur again. Tanya nami hachim shem gamil loyim bebeiz achsonoyim. Two visitors shenis archu lepundik. They're both together in a hotel. Right, they both find themselves stranded on a vacation, and they're both in the same place. Again, zeba min atzaf and zeba min adarum. One comes from the north, one comes from the south. You know, a good old fashioned cholamoy trip. Two Jewish families get together. One family comes from the Five Towns, the other from Borough Park. They never met each other before. They don't know each other, but they find themselves in the same park, and they want to eat cholamoy lunch at the same table. So says the Gemara, v'zeba b'chati chasoi, v'zeba b'gvino soi. One family, one person comes with his piece of meat, right? One family is having a fleishik lunch, and the other family is having the milchik lunch. They want to sit at the same table. There's a shortage of the table, right? Now with Corona, it's not so negay, but Amol used to be, you went on a cholamoy trip, there's only a certain amount of benches, especially cholamoy sukkahs, where everyone's trying to cram in to be in the sukkah, and there's not always enough tables, so everyone just sits at the same table. That's a good way to make friends. And one family's talking eating fleishiks. Okay, they brought the fleishiks with them, and one family's eating the milchiks, and they want to sit at the same table, so the Gemara says, that's okay. Ve'ein choshishim. We're not afraid. Why? Because there's no shaykh between the two families. I don't know your family from Barbara. Now, the truth is, as every, like all good Jewish families, by the time the meal is over, we're going to make 82 connections that were really related through the mother's side, and we're really related through the father's side, because that's the beauty of Jewish geography. The longer two Jews sit talking to each other, the quicker they'll figure out that they really do know each other, and by the time the meal is over, either going to be mashalach the kids to each other, or they're going to do some really big business deal and make a lot of money. But whatever the case may be, initially, they don't know each other. So Gemara says, that's mutter. It's only us if it's like one tfisa. So Gemara says, what's tfisa achas? Which we'll have to see in a second what that means. Then the Gemara continues. Let's say you have two brothers. Two brothers, biological brothers, but they don't like each other. They don't. There's a rift. There's a fight, probably over Yerusha or something. Whatever the fight is over, and they don't. They're not hamish with each other. Would they still be allowed to eat at the same table? Zeh babi gvinosav zeh babi chati chasay. So Gemara is a whole shaylo. So Gemara says amale yemru kol asirik and asurim v'sviki basis and mutarim. Basically, Gemara says loy plug. How do you know? How are people going to know the difference between these two brothers and two regular people? And then Gemara has a kasha back. There's a constant discussion in the Gemara about what do you do with these two brothers. Okay, that's the end of the Gemara. Now it's interesting. Everyone assumes that the reason why two people can't sit on the same table, one guy eat basa and one guy eat gvina, is because of the chash that what? that maybe I will take off your plate. Now, if you look in the Ritva, and I only quoted the Ritva, but many Rishonim say like this. The Ritva and the Ran, a whole list of Rishonim, they say it's Nechshash, it's not that I'm going to take off your plate. Says the Ritva number 4, Pirish, Shema Yitin Echonem Lechaveiroi. I'll give to you. Not that you're going to take, that I'm going to give it to you. Ve'yivsha ve'yoycha ba'oycha achle shaloi. Meaning, we're afraid that I'm going to offer you, I'm going to share with you. It's not the pshat that you're going to just grab off my plate. That's a shtickle azus to grab off my plate. Why would you grab off my plate? But the chashav is that I'll give you, and you won't think twice in meals. Oh my gosh, I'm eating bas b'chav at the same time. So it's interesting. If that's the chashash, so then I saw Achrayin Taka point out the kasha. So then it's a shtickle funny, because usually when there's a xerid rabbanon where you need two parties to consent, we usually assume one guy will remind the other. Meaning, when you start offering me your chalav, I'll be like, oh my gosh, I'm eating basr, or you'll realize it. If the chash is, I'm just going to grab it off your plate. So again, it's really only me. But here you tell me you're going to give it to me. So you don't think one of us will realize at some point that something's wrong? Okay, Aval Pika in the Rabbanan answered it, but it's just an interesting, it's a different way we think of it. Now the truth is, the shach is mashma, not like that, like this Rashi, that the chash is not only will you give it to me, but I'll even take it myself. But this way it sounds a little bit more mannerful. That the chashash is not that you'll just grab it off my plate. I'll actually give it to you. I'm again, which is why we mentioned last week, Bizman Azeh, where there's so much germ phobia, and I don't mean it in a negative way. I mean it. We should be afraid. We had a whole shiur here a few months ago already about germs and halacha. We should be more sensitive to germs because of corona. But because we are very, very nervous about germs, I would think that this whole chashash is no longer the game. Bizman Azeh, who would ever share food with another person? We're so nervous today. But again, probably. Like plug, yeah.
I thought we said last week that like co-workers or in situations like that you would be able to.
Oh, so that's what we're gonna get into more this week. So believe that tonight we're gonna get a clearer definition of who's considered close enough with regard to whom I can and can't sit with. So we're gonna get to that hopefully in a few minutes. Now that's the way the Ritva learns the Gemara. The Ritva learns the chashash that he's gonna share with me, not so much that I'm gonna take off his plate, even though. If you looked in Rashi, in number 2, Rashi sounds like it was different. Rashi sounds like the issue was, she'yoichel zem mishal chaver, that I will eat from your plate, not that you're going to give me, but I will actually grab off your plate, and we'll see how the shach makes that comment. Now, there's an important taisvis on the page over here in Chulin, that's source number 5. Taisvis says the following, v'im yesh dover mafsik, if there's something that separates between the two parties at the table, lo yhave ke'ein tfisa achas, then it's not like the Gemara says tfisa achas, kahi, the Masechet Avodah Zarah, quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, we're not going to get into it. The Gemara says, I'm skipping a few lines, v'heichi domi, what's an example of a dover ha-mavzik, ki goin di ikka goiva beini ubeini, there's some form of a height between me and you, ulefichach noyagim de minig was achshav kishes the oichel basav the oichel gvina shulchan echav says the shulchan it says toisus this is why the minig became that when two people are sitting at the same table one's eating meat and one's eating cheese menichim lechem a kankan you place a loaf of bread or a kankan or a jug oishar kelim hafzik beintayim you put something between us to make like a hefzik. We'll talk later tonight, how high does it have to be? Does it actually have to be between us? What happens if it's on the table but not between us? We'll get to all those things later tonight. So each person eats on their own mapa, on their own tablecloth, which we'll get to also. But the makar, I just want everyone to see the makar of what we know today as having a hecker between two people. It's really good from this Taisis. This Taisis brings that over here on number 5. If you look in Shulchan Aruch, Yaradeh, number 6, Yaradeh, Pei, Ches, Sif, Beis, the Mechaber writes like this. Hod asal alo siyal shulchan. When is it asa to have milk and meat on the same table? Davka b'shnei b'nei Adam, two people, hamakirim ze'ezeh, they recognize each other. Listen to this. We know each other, but we're really makbid that we don't really share with each other. Still asr. But two strangers, then mutter. Then it's mutter. So we just draw an unbelievable distinction in the Mechaber. The Mechaber said if you have two people that know each other, but they're makbid, they won't eat from each other's plate. That's no good. You still need a hecker. But if you have two strangers, who mamas know nothing about each other, two yidden get stranded in a hotel and they got to sit at the same table, then they don't need a hecker. Says the Mechaber, v'afilu amekir mir, if they recognize each other, im Asu shum heker, if they make some form of a reminder, each one eats on their own placemat or tablecloth. Or even if we eat with the same tablecloth, the noisten benayim pas lahakira, we put between us. Interesting lashon, between us. It almost sounds like the bread has to be physically between us, not just to be on the table. Then it's mut, which is what we saw from Tosfos. Now, what exactly are the guidelines over here? So according to the Shulchan Aruch, two strangers, no problem. Two strangers are no problem. Mashenkin, if we know each other, even if we are makbin, makbin means I don't really want to eat from your plate, or vice versa, or I'm not hamish enough to eat from your plate, doesn't matter. That's still going to be us. Now, the Shach, over here in number 7, the Shach writes the following. Says the Shach, small print, B'shnei bin Adam HaMakirim Zezeh, She'ena Mizibayishim Zeh Mizeh. What does it mean to be Shnei Adam HaMakirim? They're not embarrassed from each other. Then the yoichal kol echad mechaveru, we suspect that each one may come to eat from the other one's plate. So that shach sounds like Rashi. Not that you're going to give it to me, but I may come to eat off your plate. Now, it's interesting. I'm just pulling up over here for a second. It's the perks of giving a shiur from Zoom. I have access to some of the svarim that I don't usually bring with me to the shiur. If you look over here, Rabbi Forst, in his English sefer, has the following definition. He says that the two are on friendly terms and would comfortably partaking from one another's food. That's one, that's makirim. That's makirim. And then he says the other definition over here is, if however they are not acquainted or would not permit one another to partake of their food because of mutual animosity, then they may eat together. Okay? Mutual animosity. You figure out what constitutes mutual animosity, and that would be considered that would not be an issue. Now, if you look in the Shach quotes over here an interesting Marshal. The Marshal says that it says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have two people that are makirim, even if they're machbid, it's still awesome. But the Tor, he says, Kein kasev ator, chen kasev b'remazim, chen kasev b'seisev barachai, v'zeh odas achroinim, u'deloy k'marshal. But this is not like the Marshal. What does the Marshal say? Shemati b'shnei b'nei odim she'enam achen. Let's say you have two people that are not brothers. The Marshal thought, if you have two people that know each other, but we're makpid, I don't eat from your plate, you don't eat from my plate, we don't get along, then why should you need a heker? Shulchan Aruch says not like that. But the Marshal paskins that it should be okay. And the overwhelming majority is not like this Marshal. Both the Shach and the Taz, they both say it's a loyplug. Once the two people know each other, it's done. It's already over. The moment the two of them know each other, that already makes it usher. So again, two people that you work with, you already know each other, that already makes it makirim zeze. If it's makirim zeze, it automatically becomes usher. The shayla is, what about a Rebbe and a Talmud? So I found over in the Sefer number 10, the Sefer writes, it's Talmud and Rabbi. Av she makirim heim zeze. They recognize each other, they're close with each other. Mikomok m'maderech she'na Talmud oichel shirayim m'machol rabbi. If it's not the norm that a Talmud will take food from his Rebbe's plate, again, we're assuming now it's about taking, not being offered. Yesha soivim, there are those who think, shem mutarim him alois al-shulchanach al-zabasim. So there are those who want to tie in that since the Rebbe and the Talmud, by definition, the relationship is structured in such a way where they don't eat off each other's plate, there's no sharing of the food, then it would be mutar. He writes in the bottom, he says, ayim b'sefer roish golos ariel, shehevi maise rav b'zemi bala imri emes, the ger Rebbe, shein lochush lachshosh is another. You don't have to worry, a Rebbe and a Talmud don't have to worry about this din. As if they're not makirim zeze, as if there's a built-in distance between the two of them. The svar probably is, it's not respectful to eat from your Rebbe. It's degrading that the Rav should take food from his Talmud. Yeah, that's if it's not Shirayim. Shiraim is a big thing to take from the Rebbe. But again, I'm not sure why you don't apply the same loy plug over here. But he wants to suggest that perhaps if you have a Talmud, again, I guess you can make for the same debate, what happens if you have a boss and an employee? You know, it's not normally bosses and employees. Again, bosses and employees are a bad example because today in the work field, everyone has their own upmacha, their own relationship with their boss and their employee. But again, a Talmud and a Rebbe should look a certain way. The relationship should be one of admiration and respect. Again, today some of the bosses want to be friends with the people they work for and vice versa. So again, that's a bad example. But a Talmud and a Rebbe, he thinks is not a loy plug. he thinks that that's a clearly defined relationship where it's clearly marked that we don't eat from each other. In that case, it would be mutter. Okay. Now, another heter, which we talked about last week, is if two people are eating at the same table, but, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Oz mutter, oy she yoishvu birochu kol kach zeh mizach, im ha'echid yifshad yodah lo yegi l'machal ha'sheni. If you're sitting at a very long table, and you're at one end of the table, and I'm at the other end of the table, and if I stretched my hand that I still wouldn't be able to get your food, the Oz gam kei mutter. So that's a very important kula to remember. According to the Aruch HaShulchan, if you're sitting at the table and you're eating your hamburger, and your co-worker sitting at the table eating his macaroni and cheese, but it's a very big table. And if you reach your hand out, you would not be able to reach him or his food. In that case, it would be mutter. So writes the Aruch HaShulchan. Now, here's a very important shaila. The Mechaber says, based on Taisvis and Meseches Chulin, that there's such a thing called a hecker. If you have an object on the table, that object on the table accomplishes that it's somehow supposed to be a mafzik between you and the other person, and that permits you to both be on the same table. The big question the Achrayim deal with is, does a hecker work when I'm by myself? Let's say I don't have two people at the table. I'm by myself. I'm sitting at my own table. I have milchiks and fleishiks at the same table, and I put up a little barrier between the milchiks and the fleishiks. Does a hecker work when you're by yourself? So the Daki Tshuva writes, I am b'seifa beged lulboish b'chadushov, shehevi raya medivri ashas b'shmais, and delay mahani hekka rak b'shnei b'nei adam. That the whole idea of a hekka only works when there's two people. Kevin sheesh b'beiz deyas, there's two minds. Ozmani hekka v'shinri, then the fact that there's something on the table that's weird, that's strange, that tips someone off to realize that we have to behave. Avu la'alois basar al shulchan sh'odam echar oichel gvina, lay mahani hekka, kevin deleka b'beiz deyas. So the Daki Tshuva says that when there's only one person involved, I'm by myself, then it does not help that there is a hecker. Well, why is that any better? Again, the problem is that the hecker is that, well, I guess one of the two parties will realize something's wrong. But over here, since I'm by myself, so then it's not going to trigger anything in my mind. He says, Akasa came Shashchus Marami Rutenberg. Then he says it's brought down in others that a hecker only works when there's another person at the table. So let's say, for example, you're sitting by yourself and you want to have milchiks and fleishiks by yourself. So it doesn't help to put up some form of a hecker. The Achrayim point out, lefi zeh, what happens if you want to have basa b'cholav? Let's say, for example, you're with your kid. Let's say you eat with your 7-year-old child. You're eating hamburgers and they're eating macaroni and cheese. And you say to yourself, okay, I went to a shir last week. And the shir said, you can't have bas b'chav on the same table, so I'm going to put up a hecker. Does it help to put up a hecker with a child? And does it help to put up a hecker with a goy? So they want to tie in number 13, that according to this Daki Tshuva, a hecker only works when there's two people. So he wants to tie in that when you have an adult and a child, an adult and a goy, you don't have two people. Because the child has no das, and the goy has no das. So therefore, it's basically you're dealing with one-sided. Oh, one-sided doesn't work. So he writes over number 13, Lufi Divrei and Pashut, to who adin Yisrael ha'oichel l'meini Yehudi, if a Jew is eating with a non-Jew, again, the non-Jew is eating kosher, ha'oichel katan she'in baki b'yisurim, you have a katan, katan doesn't know all the rules, you also if he datum l'echel imam ha'shulchan echad, zeh basur, zeh gvina, afilu masu shum heke b'neim, deshine b'lai deyas l'mahani b'zeh. So he wants the tainah to come out according to this Daiki Tshuva, that you need to have two aware parties. So if you're going to have one party who's not aware of the halachas, whether he be a child or a non-Jew, then the chayre wouldn't help either. Now, not everyone agrees that when it comes to a hecker, you need to have a hecker only works with another party. For example, if you look in the Chach Masadim writes, when he's talking about a hecker, he writes, you need a hecker. The kol shekeinim ochel b'fnei atzmoi ayim b'nei beisi shetzarech hecker. He says, if you're eating by yourself, you also need a hecker. So you see from the Chachmas Adam that if you're by yourself, you can use a hecker. So there are those who disagree with this Darkei Tshuva. Just to round it out, if you look over in the bottom of 6b, this is another Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva is talking about over here that we saw in the Mechaber that one of the ways to be a hecker is if everyone eats with their own placemat. So the Darkei Tshuva says not so fast. He says that's only the place where it's not everyone eats with their own placemat. But if the minig is that everyone has their own placemats, so then having a placemat is not different. However, there are those who say, but if it's a distinct placemat, you have let's say, the fleishiga mat, and the other one has a milchiko, and then the woodwork. So that's just something to keep in mind. Then we talk about placemats. It's better that they're distinct placemats. That's why the kids in elementary school and preschool, they make the fleishika placemat and the milchiko placemat. This way, that would work as a hekdek. Now it's interesting, in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, was written by the Chafetz Chaim. It was really written for soldiers in the war. Back then, their soldiers, plenty of Jewish boys were drafted into armies, different countries, and they had to know, what do you do to survive? So in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, there the Chafetz Chaim basically repeats the words of the Chachmas Adam, which means that there's no implication that the Mishnah Berurah holds that you need to have a hekker, that you can't use the hekker when you're by yourself. So you could tell me this was only, you know, Nidchei Yisrael, it's a Shasat Chak, it's for soldiers in the army. Hard to know. But many contemporary Achreinim assume not like this Chai Adam, and they don't assume like this Nidchei Yisrael. They assume that if you're by yourself, it does not help to have a hekker, even though, again, the Chai Adam says not like that, as well as the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael, offered by Mishnah Berurah. He also says exactly the words of the Chai Adam, that when you are by yourself, you could use a hekker as well. Now, if you look over in number 16, the Sefer Ma'adani Malachim, he makes an interesting diuk. It probably needs a little bit more observation to it, but he makes the following observation. He says this: Nira shetoli masha noisim lahekar. He wants the taina that sometimes it depends what you use for a hekar. So he says like this: Im manichim davar gadol shehu nikar. If you're going to put up a big thing like a candelabra, which is one of the examples the Shulchan Aruch talks about, so then. Then, it's abnormally on the table. Let's say you put a lamp on your table. Then have a hekra filum loy imze loy b'nei mamish. The shailove that we're discussing is, where do you put the hekra? You put the hekra exactly between me and the person eating the meal? Between my plate and your plate? Or let's say you put it on the table. And once it's on the table, that's a good enough. So he wants the time, it depends what you're using as your hekker. If you're using something that's glaring, like a lamp, or a vase, which has no place on the table, it doesn't belong there, so then you don't have to put it mamish between them. But, he says, if you're using something like bread, which you're not eating from, again, the Shulchan Aruch says the bread that you use can't be eaten from, but he says then it needs to be a better hekker. Meaning it depends on the type of hekker you're using. That's a shtickel chiddush, that it depends on what type of hekker you're using to figure out where it needs to go. Now, it's interesting, the other area in halacha where we talk about a hekker is in Hilchas Nida. Number 17 is in Hilchas Nida, the Mechaber writes, Lo yoichal imo ala shulchan, a man is not allowed to eat with his wife during Nidus, ela im kein yesh shum shinoi, unless there's something strange. She is shum, that should be there. She is dover mafsik. That something should be mafsik, it should be interrupting, being ka'ara shaloi li ka'ara shalo, between his plate and her plate. Lechem, a loaf of bread, a kankan, or yishayuchel kolecha b'mapa shaloi, or each person eats on their own placemat. So again, does this mean on Hilchos Nida you have to have the hekker right between the two plates, or can you have it off on the side? It's not clear. The Darkei Tshuva writes, so that's not clear. It's not clear where exactly does the hekker have to be. The lashon of the Shulchan Aruch sounds like that the hekker should really be between the two of you and between the husband and the wife. If you look back in Shulchan Aruch, what was the lashon of the Mechaber? The Mechaber said, "Kigoyin shekol echa." He says, "Oh, show him hekker." He doesn't say where it has to go. He just says you have to have a hekker. Here, by Hilchas Nida, he sounds like the hefsek has to be ben ka'ara shaloi. Between her plate and his plate, which sounds like it's not enough just to be on the table, it would actually have to be between the two plates. Now there's another shaila. When we talk about using a hekker, I'm sorry, let's just go back for 1 second to page 1. I want to read it inside. I'm sorry. Let's just go back for 1 second. Let's read this together. Says the Ramah over here, back to source, 1 second, back to source number 6. Says the Ramah, Bidavka, again, Oy afilu oichlin al mapa achas v'noisnim b'nehem. You put between them. What does it mean between them? That sounds like that the hekker has to be literally between the two people eating, not somewhere else on the table. La'kei remuter, hago, Bidavka shein oichlin min apas amonach b'nehem l'hekker. Again, the Mechaber said you use the bread as a reminder. That doesn't work if you're actually eating from the loaf of bread. But if you're eating from this loaf of bread, lo yaveh heker. That can't be a heker. Why? Because the bread is on the table because you're eating from it. Now, the kasha over here is that you're not allowed to eat from a bread at both meals. Meaning, you can't eat from the same loaf of bread for a dairy meal and a fleishiga meal. So what exactly is the metzias over here? Again, the Ramah says, we're not talking about a case where the bread is eaten from. Because if the bread would be eaten from, it wouldn't act as a heker. What do you mean? If the bread would be eaten from, you wouldn't be allowed to have it. Because you can't have bread at both meals, which we'll talk about later tonight. Fine. The Ramah continues, Avl imnasnu b'neim kli. But if you put between them, kli sheshosim imenu, a kli that you drink from, it's not normally on the table. Have a hacker. That is a good hacker. Even though you're drinking from the cup. If you put a candelabra on the table, or you put something else on the table that is a hacker. So now we'll go back to discuss what exactly are the rules for a hacker. So one of the rules is questionable is, does it have to have height to it? Let's say I decide I want to put a ring down. Again, this is not only negate to basa b'chala, but it's also negate to halchas nida. Let's say, for example, a husband and a wife are out in a restaurant, and they want to eat together at their own table, and they're during nida, so they need to have a hecker. But they didn't bring along their hecker with them, so what can they use for a hecker? So they'll say, I'll put down my cell phone. Now, today the cell phones are very, very thin. And I would argue today, sometimes, sadly enough, many of our cell phones end up on our kitchen tables during supper anyways. So it might not be considered an abnormal thing. So let's say you want to put your car keys down. How high is your car keys? How much height is there? Does it need to have height? So the Daki Tshuva writes that the case of the Ramah was you put down a menorah. Now obviously a menorah, a candelabra, has a significant amount of height. So the Daki Tshuva writes in number 18, the Taz says Mefurish, I wrote it over in 17b, that the menorah has to have height to it. Anything that goes on the table to be a hacker, tzarech shetia gvoya ktsas. It has to have height. Kigoyin ka'ara, like a plate, or a kankan or a jug. Avol teller, I'm not sure what that is. She'eni gvoya lo yaveh hacker. But if the thing has no height to it, so many places can talk about using a ring. You want to use a key. You want to use something that doesn't have much height to it. That is not allowed. So that's one rule that the Daki Tshuva is a warning from a Taz. That in order for the hecker to work, it has to have some form of a height to it. Now it's interesting, Rabbi Shmuel Vosner, in his Shurim on Maseches Nida, on Hilchos Nida, he writes the following. He says, Hachinami Yitzrachu Dovah Gevayah V'nikra. He says, just like we saw in Hilchos Basa B'chalav, you have to have an object that has height to it, so too for Hilchos Nida. U'be'emes after Mistava Lidmois, even though it makes sense to compare the two, Achle Minuga Oilam Laniach Afilo Tabas. But he said, but that's not the practice. The practice is when it comes to Hilchos Nida, people put down a ring. And they say, as long as both of us know it's a hacker, that's good enough. So he writes, so why the difference between Basa B'chalav and Hilchos Nida? Because the rules for Hilchos Nida are different than the rules for Basa B'chalav. Shesham, Isra Achila Yachad Hum Ikradin. Says Reb Shmuel Vosner, because over there, two people are eating at the same table, one Basa and one Chalav. That's a real issue. Therefore, if it's a real issue, you need to be more machmer in the hecker. Ach kan, das Rambam dein issue. Over here, the Rambam holds there's no real issue to eat together. Then he says, that's why we're more makel. Ach nira de mistimas achreim shal yiskiru keim lehedra gei mashma de sagi gam shar hecker emein arog olius monachsham. So Shmuel Vosner has an interesting chiddush over here. He thinks that when it comes to Basa B'chalav, you have to be more machmir, and it has to have height to it, like the Daki Tshuva. But he says when it comes to Hilchos Nida, he thinks it doesn't. What's the difference? I thought they have the same rules. He says no. He thinks that by Hilchos Nida, we can be more makel, because by Hilchos Nida, a husband and wife eating together is not as chomer as a two people eating bas b'chalav on the same table. And then he writes an interesting chiddush. Then he writes, Dover ha-mafsik mahani gamim eine b'nei mamish. He says, and when it comes to the Dover ha-mafsik, it doesn't have to be mamish between the husband and wife. He says, when it comes to Hilchos Nida, says Shmuel Vosner, when the husband and wife have the hecker does not have to be between the two of them, like the wall of China. It has to be on the table, it has to be within eyesight. Now my shaila is, can you use this for Basa B'chalav also? So I saw in a sefer where he writes, yeah, according to Shmuel Vosner, for Basa B'chalav it's the same thing. The hecker doesn't have to be mamish between the two of them, it could just be on the table. I don't think that's true, because the Shmuel Vazir just told us 2 seconds ago that Bas B'chalav is more chamur than when it comes to Hilchas Nida. So maybe that the only time he's matter to have the object on the table, not directly between the two of them, is in Hilchas Nida. But maybe when it comes to Bas B'chalav, maybe then the taka has to be mamash between the two of them. I don't know. It's not clear to me. But it's clear, again, that we're mixing some, I guess, a good way to bring some Shoivivim into the beginning of Shoivivim. But here, Reb Shmuel Vazder's Mekel that he holds that when it comes to Bas Nida, you don't have to have the object mamish between the two of them. And also, the object does not have to have height. However, when it comes to Bas B'chalav, he holds it does have to have height. And it's not clear whether or not he holds when it comes to Bas B'chalav that the object also has to be mamish between the two parties. It's interesting, if you look in the Chayodim again, and if you look in the Sefer Nidchei Yisrael number 20, they both hold, again, the Mishtabur is basically cuts and pastes the words of the Chayodom. The Chayodom never mentions that the Hefsik has, that the Dover Hamafsik has to have any height to it. If you look in the Chayodom, and again, the Nidchei Yisrael is Kemat quoting and pasting from the Chayodom, when he mentions his din of having an object, he never says it has to have any height to it. So the obvious dik would be if he doesn't say it has to have height, then the assumption is it doesn't have to have height. So, I don't know why Moach Achranim don't make this observation that you see from the Chachmas Adam that you doesn't have to have height. But if you look at many of the contemporary Svarim, they write that it's preferable that it should have height. But I do think there is the Yesh Ami Lismech. You have the Chayodim. The Chayodim says it doesn't have to have height. Unless my Diyek is off in the Chayodim. The fact that the Chayodim doesn't say it has to have height is a raya that he does. It's not a raya that he holds. It doesn't have to have height. I don't know, I think if he held the needs to have height, he should have said something about it. But Lamaisa, we have the Darki Tshuva. The Darki Tshuva is very clear. He says it has to have height. Reb Shmuel Vazir says it has to have height. And again, I think many of the contemporary poskim all write that lechatchila, whatever you're going to use as your hefsik in Basa B'chalov, it should have height to it. Now, just what's a cute shaila is what happens if a husband and wife are eating basar and one's eating chalov, and they're also during nidus. And they're eating at the same table. So do they have to have two hekers, or can they just have one heker? So they quote over here in the Sefer Oil Yaakov. He says, this is mamish the combination of both halachas. You take hilchas nida and hilchas bas b'chalav. The husband's sitting at the table eating his hamburger. The wife is sitting at the table eating her macaroni and cheese or pizza, whatever it is. And they happen to be during nida. So they have to have a heker on the table because of bas b'chalav. They have to have a heker on the table because of nida. The question is, can they use the same heker for both? And the answer is, yes, they can. So he writes over here, kol ha-poiskim soivrim. All poiskim are in agreement. The einoi tzarich laniach oid heker. They don't need another heker. Kishu oichel basa v'chalav. The same heker that they'll use for basa v'chalav, they can use for lechas nida. And he quotes this way: b'shem Reb Shimon Eider, b'shem Reb Moshe. I saw this psak quoted b'shem Reb Shmuel Vazner. A whole list of achrayim all agree to this psak that if you happen to have both halachas come together, that it happens to be that the wife is eating basa and the husband is eating chalav. They happen to be at the same table. It also happens to be that they're during nida. They don't need to make a separate hefsik. The one hefsik that they put up will be just fine enough. Okay, so that's some of...
Rabbi, I have a question. I remember, I believe we said last week, that let's say between a guy and a yid, you don't need to put any heker. Because with tarfus, it's not a problem.
Right.
Only dafka by two dvorma mutar.
Right.
Okay, what happens if you sit down by the table and, you know, not everybody is so understanding and stuff like that. And the guy, you know, says... You know, you put down something as a heker between you and this other, you know, from person. You're eating plashiks, he's eating milchiks, whatever. And the guy's not happy. He says, get that off the table. Germs, this, that, whatever. So then am I correct? You don't have to pick up and go anywhere because you're not going to eat off this guy's plate. He ain't going to eat off yours. He, if you see what kind of personality he is, you know, do you really need to have a heker?
Of course, I would say that that's mamash the machlokes between the marshal and everyone else. The marshal will tell you in that case you don't need a heker. But the Shach and the Taz both paskin, not like the Mashal. They say it's a loy plug. And since it's a loy plug, since you know him, even though he's not very friendly, you would have to have a hecker. I would say that, again, I would try to use a hecker that he can't notice it. Try to use a subtle hecker. But it would sound like to me, that would be the Machlekes Taz and the Mashal.
Like, especially nowadays, you know, let's say you put down, you know, your cell phone or this or that, whatever, it's a hecker. You know, a guy will say, listen, do me a favor, germs, get it off the table. You know what I mean?
So I would say, in that case, I would try to walk away. I would try to be more than arm's distance from him. This way I could be samech on the Aruch HaShulchan. If you're not within arm's reach, then according to Aruch HaShulchan, you don't need a heker. To me, it would sound like the machlokes between the marshal and everyone else. But the Taz and the Shach both would not like the marshal, so I would think you'd have to be machmer. I know it sounds funny, but it sounds like, as the Taz pointed out, there's a loy plug over here. But okay, so that's some of the, again, it's not unbearable to come up with a hecker. Again, the easiest way to do it is put up an object, or don't be so close, or use some form of a placemat, or have your own tablecloth, or pull up the tablecloth. What a lot of people do is one person will have a placemat, the other one won't, or will have definitive placemats. All these types of things all work to constitute a hecker. Now, the next thing that I want to talk about is an interesting Ramon, Shulchan Aruch number 22. The Ramon writes the following: V'yizaharim shel lishtois mikli echad. If two people are eating separate gender foods, they should be careful not to drink from the same cup. Mishum shahamachal nidvak b'kli. Because we're not blias. Tonight's shir is not about blias. Everything is cold. But we're choshish that there might be actual mamoshes that will attach. And by doing so, we will be consuming basa b'chalav. V'kol shekein shloyochlu mipas echad. And definitely you shouldn't eat from the same loaf of bread. What's going to happen if you have a communal loaf of bread? And I'm eating my milchik, so what's going to happen? I touch the bread, and therefore I get fleshik. Again, I don't mean bleus, I mean real substantive flesh. I touch it, then you touch it, and you put it in your mouth. We just got basa b'chalav. So the Mechaber says, when you're eating separate genders, you should not be having communal drinking or communal eating. And that's why everyone should have their own salt dish. Because it used to be the salt dishes were open, so you would dip. People weren't so mannerful. They would take the piece of steak and dip it into the salt. So what happens is a little bit of meat floating around in the salt, and then you come and you dip in your slice of pizza into the salt. You just ate basa b'chalav. So therefore, says the Rama, you have to be mindful that when you're dealing with opposite dishes, one is chalav and one is bas, so you have to make sure that you're not sharing either a drink, or you're not sharing a loaf of bread, or you're not sharing a salt dish. Now the Daki Tshuva points out over here that not only should a person at a table where one is eating bas and one's eating chalav, should they not share from the same salt dish, but everyone in their own house should have two separate salt dishes. Says it like a tshuva, not only if I'm sitting at a table and you're sitting at the table and you're eating meat and I'm eating fleshik, milchiks and fleshik, that we shouldn't share from the same salt dish, that every Jewish house should have two salt dishes. Why? Because they're the same problem. If you're going to have one salt dish in your house and we're each going to dip into it, we're going to end up having basa b'chalav problems. So says the Daki Tshuva, every from house should have two separate salt dishes. Now, this really does not so much apply Bizman Hazeh. Because Bizman Hazeh, the way most of our salt shakers look, you don't dip into them, but rather you shake. You shake the salt onto the food. So it would be very, very hard to have any food actually get into the salt shaker. The only way it can happen is if you mamish take your salt shaker and like dip it into your food, which would be very strange because that would be the worst way to get the salt out. So really, Bizman Hazeh, there's really Ikar Adin, strictly speaking, it's not like this Daki Tshuva. When the Daki Tshuva says that really everyone should have two separate salt shakers in their house, it doesn't really apply to Bizman Hazeh. Except for, let's say, for example, you know, Shabbos. And I know in my house, like the thing that I have for the salt on Shabbos, that's opened. Right? So that, I wouldn't have at a milchig meal, because that could have mamashes of meat in it. But your regular salt shaker that you pour and the salt comes out of the holes, the pashtus would be that doesn't present a problem because that would be very hard. However, again, there are poskim who say if you have children, and children are not so conscious about these things, they might accidentally, you know, dump the salt shaker into the fleshiks, and then they might dump it into the, you know, who knows what happens. But again, strictly speaking, this Daki Tshuva doesn't really, really apply Bizman Hazeh. What is the next shayla that everyone talks about? Should you have two separate bottles of ketchup? Should you have two separate bottles of mustard? Now again, strictly speaking, says the Chaya Levi, this is Rabbi Chanan Vosner, I tried researching last night how exactly he's related to Shmuel Vosner. I couldn't get 100% clarity, but he is Rabbi Yochanan Vosner. He is the Av Bezdin of Skver in Montreal. He's alive, as far as last I checked. He's an older Yid, but he's I think he's an Ein Kol by Shmuel Vosner, but I couldn't confirm that 100%. But he is, he did write a lot. And he is the head of the Satmer Kehillah in Montreal. Not the Satmer, the Skver Kehillah in Montreal. So he writes in his sefer number 24, ketchup. He writes, you shouldn't use the same bottle of ketchup for milchiks and fleishiks. Now the question is why? Now, if it's like the Ramon Shulchan Aruch, so that means you're saying that you actually dip the ketchup bottle into the food? I don't know, maybe. Maybe when a person's pouring the ketchup, imamish dips the ketchup to the point where it's getting into the food itself. You would assume that usually you pour the ketchup from some form of a distance away from it. But that's what he writes. However, I found in another sefer called Oil Yaakov, which I quote a lot. It's written by a Yid named Rabbi Yaakov Skatchelis, who lives in Eretz Yisrael. He grew up here in Kew Garden Hills. His parents still live here. He writes like this. He says, "Mi ushuv she'elti ba'al Avnei Yeshva." I asked the shayla to the Avnei Yeshva. The Avnei Yeshva was a Yid who lived in Eretz Yisrael. He was I forgot his name already. He was a Choshev Yid. And he asked him, "Do you have to have two separate bottles of ketchup?" And he answered, "He was actually talking about spices. So he said, the spices, the way they come today, is they come in a hole, and like you pour them out. You pour them out. You don't really need. There's no touching. Right? This is the same thing we said about the salt. It doesn't really touch. He says, same thing with the ketchup. Which means, strictly speaking, the ketchup really doesn't touch the food. So if your concern is mamosh, again, we're not talking blias. That will get to blineder, future shiur, and we'll get more creative in Basim Chav. We'll talk about blias. But right now we're talking about mamosh. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch said, we're worried about there being real basim and real chalav. It's a very hard to understand why it should be true like that for the ketchup. Unless you say that, again, you have kids, the kid will take the ketchup bottle and stick it into the macaroni and cheese, and then no one's going to clean it, and then someone will stick it into the chalent. Okay, hard to know exactly. But this is what he writes. Chaya Levi writes that he thinks that the practice is that he should have two separate bottles of ketchup. Rabbi Forrest, in his book, writes the following. He writes, similarly, it is commendable to use separate ketchup and mustard containers for meat and dairy. He writes, one who wishes to use only one container should at least use the squeeze-type bottle. But again, Me'ikar Adin, he writes, glass jars or the spoon used with them are more likely to touch the plate and thus the food. Meaning his svara is that if you use the glass bottle, you get much closer to the food. You get much closer to the food, as opposed to the squeeze bottles, where you're much further from the food. But even that, first of all, who uses the glass ketchup today anyways? But nonetheless, I think this Oil Yaakov is a very strong argument. The ketchup bottles don't really get that close to the food. Again, we're not talking about blias, we're talking about mamashes. So again, it's not clear to me. But again, in my house, I happen to have two separate ketchups. But I can't say that one has to have two separate ketchups, but I guess it's definitely a nice thing. Again, whenever you have kids, there's always more to be concerned with. So that's one interesting halacha about having separate salt shakers. But again, me'ikar adin with the spices, as the actual mamushes, it really shouldn't be a problem with spices. Now, there's another interesting halacha. Shulchan Aruch says that mi she'achal gvina v'rotza l'achal basa. Let's say I had milchiks, and now I want to have fleishiks. I want to switch over. So tzarich leva'er me'al ha'shulchan, I have to remove from the table, shiurei patz sha'ochel ha'magvina. Whatever bread was left over from the first meal, I got to get rid of it. Which means bread that was left over from the milchikim meal cannot be eaten together at the fleishikim meal. Now this is very negeya. Why? What happens very often on Shabbos, you have challah on the table, and you have leftover challah, and you want to use it the next morning, you want to make French toast. So you want to make milchika French toast, okay? It's much more geschmack when you put the milk in. So can I make milchika French toast? Or many people like to make some form of a kugel with the leftover challah or leftover bread. But would I be allowed to, if it was a fleishika meal, would I be allowed to then use it at a milchika meal? So the halacha is no, you're not allowed to. Again, what's the chashash? So I didn't put it on the paper, but the Levush explains the chashash is that maybe someone touched the challah with fleishika hands. Now again, this is not a blias issue. It's not that maybe something absorbed into the challah. This is real. Someone touched the challah with the fleishik hands, and then you're going to take that exact same challah while it still has fleishiks on it, and you're going to put milk in it, you're going to be eating basal b'challah. So the Mechaber says it's not allowed. So this is the idea that you're not allowed to have bread that was at a dairy meal cannot then be eaten at a fleishik meal. So let's say the other case. Let's say you have bagels on the table, and you have bagels and cream cheese, and then you clear up the bagels, and then you decide, you know what, you want to eat that bagel with a schnitzel. You can't do that. You can't have bread that was at one meal to be consumed at the other meal. Now, there's a tshuva from Rav Moshe, in number 27. Rav Moshe is magdir this iser. I mean, the pashtus is that any bread that's on the table would be in this violation. However, Ramosha limits it. Ramosha writes at number 27, because Ramosha Yerdeya, Chedek Aleph, Simen Lamed Ches, says Ramosha the following. Zogt Ramosha, he says, Hine ho isuhu rak al shiyore chaticha zapasha ochlu ba'agvina. It's only the leftover that was actually eaten together with the cheese. Oy af al chaticha ktana shechotach kdei le'echol im agvina. Or a small piece that you cut with intention to eat with the cheese. Shalzu ain't an izah. That part you're not careful. Kimin shechoshev l'ochlu ba'agvina. Because you think you're eating it at the dairy meal. Ulechein af im yoyim eshloi nogaba. Even if you'll tell me I never touched it. I never touched the kvina. Who can also the larami alev alava daiti? We can't assume you thought about it. Avol pas hagadoy l'shiyay medes bein l'macholi chol l'bein l'macholi bos. But if you have a big piece of bread that can go both ways, then nizarim ba. Then you are careful. Ve'in lochu shem anagas ba kvina ayah bos. So it sounds like a shtuk of this with Moshe. Let's say, for example, you have a bunch of bagels. Let's say you have a challah roll. Let's say you have challah. So you cut up half the challah and the rest of the challah you left. And it's sitting on the table. That remaining chal that wasn't cut, that lechayu would be mutter to eat. The pieces that you cut and you put on the tray, that would be awesome. Because that was free game to be used at the fleishig meal. Masha'enkein, the basar, the challah that wasn't cut up, that would lechayu be mutter to be eaten at the opposite style, the opposite one. That's what it sounds like from the words of Rav Moshe. It's interesting, the Aruch HaShulchan writes, number 28, now, this is bread. What happens if it's not bread? Let's say it's a salad. Let's say you have a salad, you have coleslaw. You have coleslaw that you had a Shabbos meal, and then you have leftovers, and you decide, you know what, you want to have coleslaw tomorrow when you have bagels and cream cheese. Can I have that same coleslaw? So the Aruch HaShulchan writes, U'mitzvah min amufchar. It's a mitzvah min amufchar. When you're eating milk and fleishig, v'rotzel lechol basar, diyishla avim al shulchan alechem v'chol hamacholim she'ochlu im acholov. All the food that was eaten with the milchiks, you want to get rid of it. He says v'chein haminig poshut beroiv tvutzas Yisrael. So it's a sound like from the Aruch HaShulchan. Let's say, for example, I had a salad that was on the table, and I ate it at Shabbos. I had it during the Shabbos meal, and then there's leftover coleslaw, and then I want to take the coleslaw and eat it tomorrow morning at the milchik while I'm eating bagels and cream cheese. It's again, it's mitzvah and a mufchar natu. It's mitzvah and a mufchar natu, and the minhag always was that Klal Yisrael was makbid on this. Now it's interesting, if you look on the page 3 in the Sefer Ohel Yaakov, he writes over here that it goes without saying if you have children at the table, that I'm missing my third paper. Give me 1 second. That's weird. I'm not sure where my third paper went. But it goes without saying, says the Sefer Ori. Very strange. So he writes over here. Okay, I don't know where my third paper went. But he writes like this. He says, but if you have children at the table, he says like this. Number 3, he says, well, the ma'isa afilu eats a gedolim. Even if you have adults. It's kedai to be machmer even with adults, because again, not everyone knows where everyone's hands go all the time, even if the bread is not cut. He says, if you have kids at the table, then you have to get rid of all bread. Then even the challah that wasn't cut, you never know what the kids touched. Then if you look at that tshuva for Rav Moshe, shekased mikol makom mitzvah namuchas leilalas al shochet shachlim chal v'shumpas. Rav Moshe even concludes that even though meikar adin, the leftover chal that was not intended to be eaten at the meal, even though it was on the table, could be eaten, Rav Moshe writes, it's still better not to. So again, if you want to eat, so the best thing to do is, if you want to eat challah for the next meal with milchiks, you should cut the challah before you bring it to the table. And then put the slices on the table, and the rest of the challah don't even bring it to the table. But once you bring it to the table, then you're in trouble. I'm not sure what the din would be if you put it in a Ziploc bag. Because I do this very often, not for halachic reasons, but sometimes I cut the challah, and then I see no one's really eating it. So I put it in a Ziploc bag, and I leave it on the table. Now, I guess one could argue that they'll open the Ziploc bag with the same dirty hands. But if you want to be yotze all the shitas and you want to have the challah to be used the next meal with milchiks, you shouldn't bring it to the table. I would suggest cut the challah in the kitchen, bring the pieces that you need, and the rest of the challah leave off the table. Because once it comes to the table, it's already subjected to a shiloh. It's ready.
How is that different than using the same Coke bottle as both of them?
Because there you're pouring it into. Because again, you're not licking the outside of the bottle.
No, but you're touching it with your hands.
Right, but the outside of the bottle is not. You're not going to eat the outside of the Coke bottle.
No, but you may put meat. Your kid might leave some meat on the outside of the bottle, and then you use it as dairy milk.
Right, again, but the outside of the bottle is not. You're never going to eat the outside of the bottle, but the bread itself you're going to eat.
Is it different if you would have it on the challah board as opposed to the table itself?
I'm not sure why, unless there's, you know, you'll tell me that if it stays in a place where people are watching it. It sounds like the way Ramesha sets it up, that at meals, people are not so conscious of what they touch and what they don't touch. So, again, I the best thing would be is to cut it and then put on the table what you want and the rest don't bring to the table. Because once it's on the table, it seems like then already, again, it seems like then already it's subjected to this shiloh. Let's talk about another issue. Again, the rabbi said this is really leading us to where I want to eventually get to, where we're going to be discussing the utensils of the kitchen. So if you look over here in the Mechaber, number 30, the Mechaber writes the following. V'kol shekein she'asa lachtach gvina afilu tzeinenis. You're not allowed to cut cheese, even cold cheese, besakin sheroga lachtach basu. Let's say you have in your house what we call today a fleishika knife. Fleishika knife means it's used to cut meat. And then you're sitting in the kitchen and you need to cut a piece of cheese. And you say to yourself, what's the problem? Everything is cold. I remember from Yoridea that if as long as everything is cold, it's not a problem. So you take the milchika, take the fleishika knife, and you cut a piece of cheese. Says Mechaber, that's not good. You can't do that. Now, why? So the Paiskim say, is because we're worried there might be mamoshes. Again, not blias, mamoshes. There might be some substantive fleishiks left, fleishik pieces sitting on the knife, and then it's going to go into the cheese, and then you're going to have basa b'chol. V'loyoyt, el afilu ha'pas she'oichlim ma'gvina. Even the bread, also lachtech b'sakin she'choytchem b'basa. Let's say you have a fleishik, this happens so often, let's say you have in your house a fleishik knife, and you want to cut a bagel to have cream cheese with. So you tell yourself, why can't I use the fleishik knife to cut the bagel? What's the problem? Says the Mechaber, you can't. You can't use a fleishika knife. Not only can't use a fleishika knife to cut cold milchiks, you can't even use a fleishika knife to cut cold bread to put cream cheese on it. Okay, so this is this is our introduction to getting more familiar with the utensils in our kitchen. So again, according to the Mechaber and Shulchan Aruch, if you have a fleishika knife, you can't use that knife to cut cold cheese, and you can't use that knife to even cut a bagel to put on it milchiks. Says the Ramah. Goes the other way also. Let's say I have a milchika knife that I use for cutting cheese. Again, okay, it's more understandable the fleishika way, because we know meat tends to be PC and it stays on the knife. Now milchik, if you use it to smear cream cheese, it's a little harder to understand. But if you think about cheese also has a little bit PCs to it, so the pieces stay on the knife, and then you're going to run into basa b'chol. Says the Ramah, Mio, however, im al yidei ne'itza b'karka, ne'itza b'karka kosher, sorry. If you stick it into the ground, if you stick the knife into the ground, into hard ground, that makes it mutter. Avul kvar nogu Yisrael, kol Yisrael liyois lahem shnei sakinim. But the minigan klaisol has already been to have two separate knives. Uvelir shem echad mehem shia lahek, and to mark on each knife which one is. The nogu lirshom shal chalav. And the minig used to be that they used to mark the milchika knife. The ein l'shano is minig Yisrael. And don't change that. So I mean, the minig used to be that the species, the gender, I like to call it, that used to be marked was the milchika knife. And the Paiskim will see B'lin Adamor next week about, let's say I want to mark the fleishika knife. And many Paiskim say you shouldn't do that. Because people are always used to the idea that the marked one is always the milchika one. So if you're going to mark one and fleishik, people are going to confuse. Now, we skipped something, which I apologize for, but again, this is what happens when we go back and forth. There's another halacha that we went over very quickly. I want to go back for a second to page two for a second. The Mechaber writes the following. That not only am I not allowed to have the same bread at a milchika meal and a fleishika meal. What's going on?
I'm getting you.
Says the Mechaber, I just want everyone to go see this inside with me for a second. Says the Mechaber over here, thank you, my help got me to the wrong page. Page 2, Mechaber writes this, number 26. Misha ochel gvina vrata, the osu lechel gvina al mape sheoichlem ba basa. You're not allowed to eat milchiks on the same tablecloth that you eat fleishiks. Now, this we need to spend a few minutes discussing. You're not allowed to eat milchiks on a fleishik tablecloth, and you're not allowed to have fleishiks on a milchik tablecloth. Why? Now again, this is not because of blias. This is not a hot. This is cold. You can't eat a cold milchik dish on a fleishik tablecloth. Why? So the same chashash. We're chayshish that what? On the tablecloth fell pieces of flesh, and now you're going to eat it together with your milchiks. So right away, the first thing that should jump into your mind is, 1 second, what happens if we have plates? So the Darki Tshuva, on the third page, the Darki Tshuva back on page 2, I'm sorry. The Darki Tshuva writes, not the Darki Tshuva, the Pischei Tshuva, number 32, he writes, this whole din is only when they used to put the food directly on the tablecloth or on the placemat. Then it makes sense. I'm going to have a fleishika placemat. I'm going to put my milchika on it. It's going to get a piece of fleishika. It's basa b'chalav. But today we use plates. So therefore he thinks today it's not a problem, which makes a whole lot of sense. Yet, believe it or not, that's not the practice. The practice is not like this Pischei Tshuva. The assumption is that even if I want to eat with a plate, I should not eat cold milchiks on a fleishik tablecloth because of this chashash. Now what happens if I clean the tablecloth? So the Magen Avraham writes in Arachayim number 31, he says, if it's taka washed well, then you would be allowed to eat from one and the other. Now, what exactly constitutes washing well is not so simple. So that's why today most paiskim ataka machmir, that you should not eat on a fleishik tablecloth, even cold milchiks, even in a plate. This is just showing you how far we go. So let's say, for example, your wife wants to set the table, and she wants to put the fleishik tablecloth down first, and you want to eat milchik, you should not eat milchiks on that tablecloth that there was fleishik. So that we are machmir with, even with that.
What if you use a placemat?
So I think in that case, then it would be mut. I think if you're going to have a placemat on top of the tablecloth, then the chayrit should be mutter, because then there's no chash. I believe in that case, that would be mutter, because then there's no chash in such a case, because it wouldn't be an issue. They paiskim talk about what happens if you have a plastic tablecloth that could be wiped down. So many paiskim say that would be okay. It's interesting that we are machmer. He writes, Rabbi Forrest, I'm just reading, he writes, a tablecloth used for meat may be thoroughly washed. I'm not sure what thoroughly washed. He's quoting the Magen Avraham. What's considered thoroughly washed? You put it in the washing machine. I guess that should probably do the job. That should probably wash it down. But Lamaisa, we try not to use the same tablecloth for both. Just back to the knife for a second. So really a person should have three knives. He should have a milchika knife, should have a fleishika knife, he should have a parva knife. For cutting a parva bread, then he should have a milchika knife for eating his milchika bread and a fleishika knife. Now, there's a machlokes shach and taz over here about when does ni'itza help. So, if you look over here in number 33, the shach writes that when the Ramah says you could do ni'itza, mashma dimnotu bekarka koshi yoyse mutal lechatchil alachtich ba pas lachol mgvina. The shach holds that if I want to cut, I have a fleishika knife, and I want to cut bread to eat with a milchika meal, it only helps if I'm not bekarka. So according to the shach, if I have a fleishika knife and I want to cut a bagel with cream cheese, the only way I can do so is with not bekarka. However, the Taz is mekel. The Taz says that when you do ni'itza bekarka, that's only if you want to eat actual milchiks. But if I'm just using the milchika, I'm using the fleishika knife to cut a bagel, to get cream cheese, then I just have to clean it. If you look in the Taz number 24, he writes, Zekwa, Masha Kosev, Shavat, Alachta, Gvina, Besaket. Avo mashikosim she'osa lachtech lechem loitzarech rak kinuach hasakin. Says the Taz, if you want to cut a bagel to put cream cheese in, you don't need to do any itza bekark. You just have to clean it. Now, there's an interesting machloikus achrein between Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Yashiv. Does steel wool accomplish ni'itza bekarka? Rabbi Yaakov thought that cleaning something with steel wool is better than ni'itza bekarka, while Rabbi Yashiv thought it does not accomplish it. So again, halacha lemaisa, there are those that are makel like the Taz, that if I want to cut, let's say again, I want to cut a bagel with cream cheese with a fleishig knife. So either according to Rabbi Yaakov, I wash it down with steel wool, that would be ni'itza. Or according to the Taz, I don't need to, because since I'm only cutting bread, I'm not cutting actual cheese, so then I only need to wipe it well and make it clean. But according to the Shach, that's not good enough. According to the Shach, if I want to cut a bagel to put cream cheese on it, and it's a fleishig knife, I have to do an itza, which according to Yaakov, it would mean I have to use steel. Well, according to Yashiv, it wouldn't work. Okay, Belina, the next week we're going to get even further into the utensils. We'll be focusing much more on separate utensils and kashering utensils, and then Blineda will get us into, I don't think we're going to talk about the knife yet. We'll Blineda have a later shiur where we'll get into the knife, but we'll start to talk about the oven and things like that, and this is going to get us into discussing the kalim, the actual utensils in our home. Mr. Shem, tomorrow night we'll have the parsha shiur, and Mr. Shem, Sunday morning, the Gemara shiur as well. Okay, wishing everyone a wonderful evening. Have a good week. Stay safe and be well.